to see if we see any of that right now. And we're going to join in. We got about 59, 58 minutes for the second part of this tonight. Hopefully we'll be able to move to the 3 hours, so we'll have more in-between time and question-answer time, but I'm still open to any kind of questions. I think that the second portion, Spiritual Warfare, and it's just kind of titled tonight, Spiritual Warfare, Face It, Fear It, or Fight It. Okay? Spiritual Warfare, Face It, Fear It, or Fight It. And I want to address all three levels of that here, because this is important for us tonight because of a number of reasons. I'm thinking in terms of the body of Christ as a whole. I'm thinking in terms of, number one, let's deal with the reality. Spiritual warfare is here. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail. Right? In the context of the gates of hell, the very forefronts of dark powers and presence, Jesus is going to build, he's going to launch, he's going to unleash the body of Christ. And that's pretty clear. We're told to become aware of the devil's, schemes and so forth. We're told to be alert concerning the devil himself prowling around to harm us. We are told to receive the authority of Christ to be able to crush the demonic powers and to overcome all the evil. And we're to have the armor of God on so that we can be in the mighty strength and the empowerment of God. We're to watch. That's the word gregoruo, to be look for the impending danger. Look for what the enemy's doing so we can resist him, stand against him, pray against him, realize the aspects of warfare. Now, I'm sitting in a research center on my left. One of the things I love to teach over the years was systematic theology. 20 years of the whole of the teaching. We did it for 30 years, but 20 or so years I taught locally systematic theology. And we used things like Henry Thiessen or Gleason Norman Geisler. We used a number of volumes, but we always taught it in the context of, what else was needed. Whether we went over, bibliology and soteriology and ecclesiology and eschatology and all the rest, we had to add in constantly the issue of spiritual warfare. Most systematic theology books did not have a separate section. And I want to say that I'm just giving you my assessment. And I've been on the field 39 years, been in full-time ministry 37 years, pastored locally, including youth pastoring 32 years. I'm sorry, it was even more than that. But anyway, I'm just saying, I love the body. I go to a local church that I love. I love the pastor there. I love the friends that I have there. And there's some really good folks that I have there. And so I want you to hear me when I say that most churches that I know of when I was pastoring all over the city, and speaking out all over the place, most churches are not spiritual warfare discipled, spiritual warfare able, and they're not really powerful churches. So let's say there was 10 things in Christianity to emphasize. If a church emphasizes 10 of those things a lot, let's emphasize 10 things again and again. That's good. To emphasize 10 things is very good. It's like going out and getting a meal and you have salad and you have bread and you have a steak and you have potatoes and you got vegetables and you got a salad, you got a dessert afterwards. But out of all that meal, and you pay a big price for that, all you eat is the potatoes. What about the steak? What about the salad? What about the bread? What about the dessert? What about, anything else? So, it's vital that in the context of being believers, we're trained on everything. And a lot of the discipleship material, and we've used all kinds, known ministry groups that have put out discipleship materials. And I'm just saying again, not everything is taught. And so some of the things I'm going to mention tonight, I bet you, again, you'll be able to say in your church, it's never been taught. And I was at Orlando in Florida with thousands of people down there and thousands listening around the world. And we want to, again, welcome all of you. We're in the second hour tonight. And this is the spiritual warfare hour. And again and again and again, people came to me, as always in the last 5 years, in conferences everywhere from every kind of church background. Russ, why don't they teach this in their churches? As if I was teaching something Ephesians 6, Luke 10, so many other things. Overwhelmingly, believers have been unprepared. And I believe this, spiritual warfare teaching biblically in a systematic way and putting it all into action makes very strong, powerful believers. When spiritual warfare, biblical spiritual warfare principles are not taught and kept away from believers, you've got believers that may be half strong in a sense, half able in a sense, but you also got a lot of believers that don't know how to fight for their own sakes. They don't have them for their own sakes. Very good. A question comes in real quick. Russ, do you have PowerPoints availing for... you know, I don't tonight. And when we have the notebooks, those will be out. And I'm not sure what we can do on the... I don't know if you're meaning the PowerPoints that I just did down in Florida. If I was to redo those sessions, that's a possibility. I have to find out from the folks that have run that because they're going to be putting out DVDs. But again, we're going to, you know, please thank you for the suggestion on that. We'll see what we can give you on a week-to-week basis. The notebooks will help because they stick to an outline point by point. I know the PowerPoints do that a little bit, but it doesn't give you anything to write into. So maybe we'll do both. You keep this in prayer, and maybe we'll be able to do both for everybody here when that second part actually starts. We're kind of in between that still. But let me give you, I'm going to give you about 11 things to deal with when it comes to spiritual warfare. Just, I'm going to give you an overview. I did this in the categories message I did last Friday and Monday. It was replayed. And I'm going to touch on categories again. But I want you to think in terms of the categories of spiritual warfare in the context of what you've experienced. What have you experienced? I mean, if you are a believer and you have the joy of the Lord and you know you're forgiven and you're singing, you know, all hail the power of Jesus' name and you're loving the Lord and so forth, this is vital that, you know, if you want to keep the joy and the presence of God and your development and bearing fruit uninterrupted, you have to know that there's a battle. You have to know there's a fight. You have to know that the world, fallen world system, the old flesh that wants to bring you back or the spiritual warfare, you know, part of it is part of the battle. And if we teach people how to be joyful in the Lord, how to love the Lord, how to sing and things, that's great. But if you don't teach them how to fight, how to defend themselves and how to do warfare, then you're going to have believers that are going to be getting hit and going up and down. And some believers may be listening tonight. I want you to hear me clearly. You've been knocked out. You've been spiritually crippled because of warfare. You didn't even know what hit you. Peter and the disciples, when they got hit, when Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat," they didn't know what hit them. They were all scattered and bugged and agitated and in fear. They didn't know what it was at first. Now, Peter, later on, when he knows, look what happens in Acts chapter 5, when he stands there, spiritually discerning Satan entering in Ananias and Sapphira try to come in to infiltrate the church, he stops it. He writes later in 1 Peter chapter, you know, 5 verse 8, you know, that we're to be alert, you know, we're to be vigilant, we're to have, you know, Gregorio, we're to be looking for the impending danger because your enemy, your adversary, the devil himself, he's prowling around. He really is looking for someone to devour. That word devour, you know what it means? To eat something whole. You know, that's the truth. And I'm going to tell you what, there's believers where Satan has eaten your lunch, you know, he's eaten your lunch and he's knocked you out of the game, demons and the warfare, because you didn't know what the arrows were. You didn't know what the warfare was. You didn't know what the battle was. You didn't know what to do concerning it. You weren't equipped with all the verses that can come to your mind and the experiential side of knowing what the, even the feeling of the warfare and that kind of thing. So, that's important for us to understand. And that's why I want to go over, give a kind of an overview of 11 areas. And a very good point. Thank you, Amy. Excellent point. Amy's put into the chat room classroom here, ignoring symptoms don't rid you of the disease. Ignoring the, you know, things of the enemy and so forth surely does not rid you of his work. It gives him free reign. Not to learn what it means to resist, not to know what it is to use authority to rebuke, not what it is to have the armor of God on. Listen, I was in Florida in the first night. We had the most radically pumped up, fired up group, hundreds and hundreds in that packed out people sitting on the stage, and they were ready. I mean, we went into actual prayer map, I mean, interceding and praying, and we went into a lot of things. Now, when I asked how many here knew the armor of God, 70% put their hands up, or 75%. That was great. But I then asked, how many know you have it on right now? It went down to about 40%. So, and that's what's vital about all of this, that we come to a reality that spiritual warfare is real. It's not going away. It's going to get deeper, thicker, broader. But that God has given us all the equipment so that we can be in victory, be seasoned, be powerful, be able, and advance the cause of Christ in the midst of battle and your own personal life. So your personal life will benefit, your family's life, your church's life, and pastors, your churches will become capable, powerful, spiritual, you know, individuals that really know how to handle things, and it'll drive away fear. Biblical teaching and experience of the biblical principles on warfare, as integrated in Scripture, will only make people stronger, believers stronger. And that's vital for us, for all of us. Now, real quick here, I saw a question about the Satanic Calendar. Yeah, that's right. You can Google the Satanic Calendar, and there's a number of them out now. But yeah, we're coming. You have a number of rituals this month. You have both listed in the calendar, then off the calendar. They're going to do their own stuff too. You have small things, cleansing rituals, preparation rituals. There are also going to be abductions. Towards the end of the month of April, you're going to hear about, you know, kids, abduction will be big toward this month, and the holding of victims this month. So that's, again, what do we do? Get out there, like we said, the first hour, to find them, to pray for them, to go them, to ask for God's supernatural release to help them get out. Now, you're having at the end of the month wall purges. You're going to have one of the biggest outside of All Hallows Eve night. You're going to have the biggest, I mean, this is the biggest, I think it's even bigger than All Hallows Eve. I think that Wall Purges and what's going to occur from the 26th, you're right about this, right about the 26th, specifically 28th on, and actually all the way to May 4th, the big rituals being the 30th, you know, up to May 1st. Those are big, big ritual nights. That's when you want to have, you know, we're going to be asking all of the Shatter Prayer Mappers, Project Josiah, hundreds and hundreds, focus in prayer on those nights. Our teams are going to focus in prayer, but we're going to be out. We're going to be out looking to intervene for the victims, to pull them out, and to pray that God invade, engage, and deal with, no matter what it takes, the perpetrators. And it's going to be laced from beginning to end. So when we're in vehicles going from one spot to another, might it be an hour drive, man, we're putting up the prayers. We're interceding. We're targeting. We're praying for the victims and their release. We're praying for the perpetrators and for God to deal with them. And so those days, and we'll tell you about those days, unless we do some kind of live radio, you know, major thing and do prayer together, we're gonna be out. But I'll tell you about that. But yeah, thank you, you know, Diane, for bringing that up, because that is that's vital to understand. We've said this in our earlier prayer mapping stuff. Always look throughout the month when it comes to satanic rituals, because you know that's when things are going to be done. I have a 14-year-old girl and a 17-year-old girl, one in July, one in August, slaughtered, utterly slaughtered and killed, and left in on the ground naked. It's just a horrific thing that was done to them. The person that did it, Satanic Brotherhood, or an undergrounder that did this, it's just really something that, you know, these girls were brutalized, and one was done on satanic revels and one was done on demon revels. In September, you might look in this in law enforcement when there's a case where somebody's got missing hands, the Hands of Glory ritual. So coming up is one of the biggest, biggest, broadest rituals. They'll be done in all kinds of places. And that's why I think, you know, maybe we can do a 10-day coverage where we're going to be praying for the victims and intervention and the perpetrators' investigation, for God to deal with them no matter what it takes, for God to do what he did in Ezekiel, to strip open the underground, to radically strip open the underground and for things to be dealt with. And I think that's going to be good, very good. So as we're looking at all of that tonight, I want you to hear on spiritual warfare. Here's some things when it comes down to the reality of Satan and demons, you know, not only biblically speaking, the origins, the nature, the methods, and the agenda, but what has been here in the last 30 years is massive and growing, but we haven't seen anything yet. I'm telling you again, based on biblical prophecy, look at Revelation 12, look at Revelation 18, the developments on the satanic side are going to be vast, vast. Nothing beyond what we have. because in Revelation 12, they overcame the dragon, the full force of satanic presence. Believers overcame him by the word of their testimony, by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame is the Greek word for meaning decisive victory. So in the face of the full force of Satan in the concept of the dragon, believers can overcome him, the simplicity of their testimony in Jesus, and the blood of the Lamb, the centrality of Christ, the cross, and his blood. That's vital. So you have authority, you have awareness, you have alert, you have the five A's that we've talked about. That's vital, the armor of God, and that's vital. But here's what I want to touch on some areas of spiritual warfare that we can take a look at that I think are vital. And I'm going to touch on the categories again tonight. Some people will have these different. Some will have three or four. Some will have four or five. I have 18 altogether, but I'm not going to go over all of them. I'll probably go over 9 or 10, and then the rest of them next Tuesday night. Let's take a look right now at number one, oppression. And again, I believe that's based on Ephesians chapter 6, when the Spirit of God says to lift up the shield of faith, by which you can extinguish all the flaming darts or the poisonous darts, those arrows, sent by the evil one. So there's a demonic presence, or Satan sends the involuntary thoughts and feelings to be contrary to the will of God, the word of God, the character of God, and to bring oppression to you that brings the cloud, the darkness, the sense that God's not there, and all this stuff becomes, over you. And your feelings are oppressed and your thoughts are oppressed with things that run contrary to the word of God, the will of God, the character of God. Now, the Spirit of God says, put on the full armor of God. But part of that is lift up the shield of faith, faith in Christ and in the word of God. Oppression will try, the enemy will try to keep you away from the word so you won't quote it, speak it, declare it, believe it. But the oppression comes to counter it. So you got to stand up and you got to respond in that sense. So that's oppression. That's really oppression. And by the way, since we're into the subjects, and we didn't do this the first hour, I did this on my own, but Father, in the name of Jesus, stretch out your hands, bless all those who are listening live, all those thousands that will listen later on. Bless by your power and coverage, we acknowledge the Lord Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, and your grace to us. Deliver us from the enemy. Strike at any demonic sending, anything going on from anyone trying to send demons, do stuff, interfere with anybody tonight. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord rebuke the demonic. And God, we ask extraordinary work in delivering individuals live right now in Jesus' name, or even by the archives, Lord, that you have that ability to do that whenever they're listening. And we ask this prayer to stand and for you to deliver and for you to strengthen. We pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to encourage and strengthen believers and give them great courage and a great fire to develop inside concerning the gospel, the mission, the advancing of the cause of Christ, and also coming against radical evil. So we pray for all those who are here, all those who are in the classroom, all those who are listening. We pray for the victims, extraordinary help to them today even. We pray for the perpetrators and those who recon the shows. God, you'll engage them in such a way that you did Saul of Tarsus, that you'll stop them from the radical evil and the harming of others. We pray that you give courage to some to bring out the information that will save lives and save children and so forth. And Lord, bless all those, our deep friends here, our brothers and sisters, in Jesus' name. Well, please remember that before these classes start, we're already pumping in the prayers, and I'm trusting for you to pump in the prayers prior, but it's always good to pray together too, and I appreciate that, and thank you for the interaction in the classroom, and I know you're praying. There is, there you go, that's a good one, Spiritual Secret Service. And I believe that you really do need to cover pastors and leaders and others and people that are out there. And that's why we have no problem. Paul did it, and we have no problem asking. Keep us in your prayers. I can tell you a little bit about, in the last 3 weeks, we've been to New York, Pennsylvania, into Delaware. We've been to where victims are. We've been up north in other cities, numerous other cities here. We've been local. We've engaged the Stairway Covenant again after 20 years. We've been in the Catholic church system. We've been at a ritual site area, into the graveyards this last weekend, into a son of a priestess. We've been in a lot of places, even this last weekend alone, from early in the morning, and we got home, I think, about 2 o'clock in the night, along with talking to a victim later on the phone. So, you know, what we talk here is based on to what we're already out there in the field doing and have been doing. So you're going to hear some of the experiential side of things along the way, which is a good thing. Good thing. So let me ask again, just quickly, how you doing? Is the sound okay? Are we all right tonight? We're recording everything ourselves too, so we can put it up on the archives, so that the and we separated them. The first hour goes on to the occult satanic crimes one, and then the spiritual warfare one goes into the spiritual warfare one too. So those will be up. Thank you and blessings to you for that. Thank you, appreciate that. Oppression is every believer is going to experience oppression. And we've been given equipment to bust it, beat it, be delivered from it, and to win over it. Number two, attack, spiritual attack. Okay? Now, thank you, Wendy. Wendy has the 19th through May the 1st blocked off for prayer. That's going to be good. Now, find your targets. I mean, again, praying for the release of the victims and help and the intervention, praying against the perpetration, but also the demons are going to be summoned and raised and all the rest. You target a coven that's doing this, guaranteed they're going to know it. They're going to know it. We've heard it from them numerous times where they've said things like, we could hardly get a demon to appear. And that's, you know, we do nothing. Then they're, you know, we actually hand over space to the enemy. So spiritual warfare, face it. And when you do, you got to face it. If you just stay hidden from it all the time, you just live in, you know, again, I think a half-baked believer life. But if you fear it and run from it, then that's exactly the opposite of what God wants you to do and enable you. And you'll never get to the point of experientially the power, the, you know, growing and becoming strong and all the rest. So the other side of it is fight it in God's power. Fight it in the name of Jesus. Fight it in the name of the Lord. So number one, you'll have oppression where the thoughts, feelings, and stuff come contrary to the Word of God, the will of God, the character of Christ. You lift up the shield of faith in Christ, in the Word, and you rebuke the enemy from around you, and you stand. You'll find the air around you, this breaking off of you. Number two, when it comes to attack, what is an attack? An attack is more like the Job thing. Here's how you discern the attack issue. When all of a sudden, more than one episode, something comes in to hit you, and when Satan's bringing it, when demonic presence is bringing it, the attack will also have an angle to it, an assignment. In Job's case, the attack was to get him to the point where he cursed God and die. An attack is meant to stop you from church, stop you from growing, stop you in ministry. You know, whatever the attack may be designed with, usually a bunch of physical events occur, a string of them. And each one makes it a little bit worse. So it's not just one thing that happened on Monday. It's what happened Monday night, what happened Tuesday afternoon, what happened Wednesday morning, Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday night. The enemy likes to do this over a number of days. So an attack may be a bunch of bizarre events that are just bringing harm to you and causing problems and interruptions and whatever else. And it really does have a mission behind it. And the only way to really understand all of that is to really say, just seek the Lord in the midst of it. That's why we said in the first hour, and I'll say it again now, the foundation of spiritual warfare is you becoming a great, great, powerful prayer warrior where you can interact with the Lord, listen to him. In the middle of an attack, when all of a sudden you're saying, hey, this happened and that happened and this happened and that happened and this is happening and that's happening and this is crazy and I feel like I shouldn't even do ministry, you know, all of a sudden this consistent pressing message comes. Give up God, give up ministry, you know, become angry, blame God. That's usually the attack issue. And because some attacks have a time period, truth is, they may last. Remember the church in the book of Revelation when Jesus said 10 days? You know, sometimes an attack may last over a number of days or a couple of weeks. Okay? And when that occurs, then you got to understand that standing in the Lord and persevering and giving praise is a vital issue if you want to come out without any regrets. If you realize that, hey, you're under attack and this might last a few more days, and you don't need to fear it. God's in control. He was in control on the Job level. He only allowed so much, but that's extreme. It doesn't happen to everybody, but when attacks come, you better have the armor of God on. And I'm going to tell you this. Here's what I say. Here's the principle. When you are hit with an attack, you've got to hit back all the stronger, consistently, until it's gone. It's like personal oppression. Sometimes I feel like you can get rid of oppression in 5 minutes. If you pray against it, renounce the things coming in, and put up your shield of faith, you can clear the air and you have the joy of the Lord. When it comes to attack, this happens, that happens, this happens, that happens, things trying to keep, and you're just, all of a sudden you're reading Satan's attacks as, well, might as well just give up going to church even, might as well just give up my ministry, might as well just, then you realize that it's all designed by the enemy. So here's what I say. However you're attacked, fight back even harder. Number one, get in the presence of God in the midst of the attack. Even though it's bugging you and it's causing you trouble and causing you pain and causing you, that attack wants to make you angry. But you get in the presence of God and you put up the praise and put up the praise and put up the praise and put up the sacrifice of praise. Number two, you get in the Word of God, you scour the Scriptures, you read the Scriptures, you read them out loud. The harder the attack, the harder you put up praise and you get into the Word. And you ask, and then thirdly, you ask God to deliver you. Fourthly, you can pray and attack back and rebuke the enemy. And you continue to repeat that until it's done. Here's the truth. If you're under attack that's going on day after day after day after day, and you decide instead of being squashed down and defeated, you stand up and you decide, I'm going to put up praise and praise, and I know it's hard. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. Can I be honest? I'm just telling you straight out. There are times that I just, I have cried in the midst. I know what it is to bleed, emotionally, and you got to understand that. Years and years, I know what it is to get before the Father in Jesus' name, to feel the pain, to feel myself bleeding, in a sense, in the sight of God. But that's what the psalm writer did. That's what I learned with the Psalms. When I got into the Psalms and I began to just scour the Psalms and see, God didn't never condemned him for bringing up pain and bringing up how much he's hurting. And one time the psalm writer says that he has so much grief, he staggers like a drunk man. He shared that he's being covered, that he's in the pit, that he's being drowned, that, all the rest, the psalm writer. But in every single case of 150 psalms, when the writer made God his refuge, his deliverer, God did deliver him. God did come in. God did speak. God did break it. That's the good news. So when you're under a consistent attack that's going on and on and on and on, The best way to handle it in the midst of it and come out victorious, and I know times that it's hard, but when you press it, that's what perseverance is. 2 Peter chapter 2, we're to add to our faith, perseverance, endurance. By the power of the Spirit of God in us, you can press it forward and you can purposely put up more praise than ever. Purposely dig in it, and I say it this way, scour the Word. Read the Word, read the Word, read the Word. Thirdly, ask the Lord to deliver you and to attack the enemy. 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. There's times I say, Jesus, destroy the devil's work. And then fourthly, I'm going to pray against the enemy. I have authority. I'm going to rebuke the enemy too. And then fifthly, be listening to whatever else the Lord wants to show you, teach you. So those five things in the middle of an attack, because the enemy wants to do this over a period of time. He wants to do it till he wins. Realizing all of it, God's in control. Realize without God giving you any protection, we're all undone because we're living in a world that we opened up to the devil. But here's the five things. Begin to, I don't care if you have to force yourself. I've done that laying on the floor. push and push and persevere and endure and put up the praise. Secondly, and an old missionary named Norman Grubb one time said, praise in the midst of adversity makes the serpent swallow himself. Well, I don't know about that, but I do know that praise in the midst of adversity, when Satan's attacking, God inhabits the praises. That's a powerful thing. And I you know, if an attack is designed to come against you for two weeks, and every day you get up and two three times a day you're gonna just praise God, you're gonna sing hymns, you're gonna get in your car, you're gonna sing loud. You know, there's a thing about bless the Lord, O my soul, and everything that is within me, bless his holy name. There's a thing about a shout unto God with a voice of triumph, right? So you got to understand that sometimes I'm going to get up when I'm feeling like all hell's against me, and it's going to be, you know, 5-10 days of this. Get up and be strong about it. Get up and praise God and worship God. My wife knows this. I march. I might even go to the woods where I do my 5 mile, and the whole way through just praising God. But I get into my research center. I'm just telling you personally what I do. I don't sit down. I don't sit back late. I mean, I don't sit back passively. I get up, I might raise my arms, I might be praising God, I might, but I'm very active when it comes to this, because I've learned, and I think I've learned the hard way too. I've learned in the past. I remember, I can tell you time again, when I wished, when an attack came over a period of 10 days, 12 days, and after I'm out of it, I'm glad it's over, but I wish I would have done more. I had regrets that I didn't do more. So, let me say it again. When you have a design attack against you, the 5 primary things to do, and to do quickly and strongly and consistently, that when you come out of the attack, you will be spiritually huge. That's a good thing. You're going to be stronger. You're going to be more able. You're going to realize that responding the right way to attack and adversity has everything to do with how quickly victory comes and how deep you become and how powerful you become. So, again, let me give it this way. If a believer, for the last 20 years, every time any kind of spiritual attack or adversity comes, gets mad, gets depressed, and just goes and sulks, guess what their character is like? They have built that into their character, just exactly what Satan loves. Okay? But if you have, whether oppression or specifically attack, which is designed to be a period of days, like with Job, like with the church in the book of Revelation, 10 days, Satan comes, and somebody asks, how do you know when the attack's over? Well, how do you know when it's there? If you know it's there, and all these events and all these crazy things, and you feel the heat of it, and you feel the warfare of it, and you feel the pressure of it, when it's over, you don't any longer. And I've even found that God restores things after it's all done. Just like Job. Not only he got three times as much back, but I love what it says in Job. God has this ability to get the second half of his life is better than the first. Well, anyway, here's the 5 things when it comes to attack. Very important. Here's what I think you can do to become out stronger and stronger and stronger every time. Maybe come out quicker. But don't come out too quick, because you don't want to miss anything that you need to learn. If it's just a matter of, Lord, get me out of this every time. You know, there's times God, you know, in that you look at the psalm writer, but he went to God. He cried out to God. He laid his complaint before God. He laid his heartfelt blood and guts emotion. He brought it all before God. And God never condemned him for that. But he also, in the context of that, instead of just complaints, he made God his refuge. He called out to God, you are my deliverer. And he put praise up in the midst of it. And in every single case in 150 Psalms, God answered, God delivered, God spoke, God got him out, God helped. So attack is, how do you respond? Number one, pour up the praise and the worship, put on more, all the way through. Number two, scour the word like never before, get into it, read it, pick it up, read it out loud, memorize verses, get it, quote it, preach it to yourself. Number three, I think it's okay, like the psalm writer, ask the Lord himself to deliver you. Ask the Lord Jesus, who came to destroy the devil's work, to attack the enemy. Number four, with the authority you have to overcome all the power of the enemy, you rebuke the enemy. And number five, ask the Lord, is there anything I need to learn in this? Is there anything else I need to do? Is there anything else I don't want to miss anything. And when the attack lifts, and you stood your ground in that way, you watch how deeper you feel the presence and power of God and how stronger you become. And now you know you hit back quick. You stand up quick. You never back down. You never roll over. You put up the praise. You see how valuable all those things are. And the truth is, you want to do it even more. It's true. Okay, number three tonight. Number three tonight. Let's deal with attachment. We call it attachment. People call it different things. This is Ephesians chapter 4, when the Spirit of God says, you know, be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down your anger and give the devil a foothold. So we're being commanded, don't give the devil a foothold. The Greek word topos or topon, meaning a legal right. It's also used of an actual foot, like somebody's foot in a hole to press up on. And, you know, the idea of the enemy, if you as a Christian open the door to the flesh, the sin issue for a period of time, anger, lust, unrepentant areas. If you give into it and you get into it and you're doing it and you haven't stopped it, you haven't repented, you haven't confessed it, and you do it long enough, the guarantee is that Satan, you've given the devil a foothold. You've given him a right. And he'll make that area that you're you know, because Romans chapter 6 says, to whomsoever you obey, you become a slave. If you obey the flesh, lust, anger, whatever it may be, if you get into it long enough, you come under a pressure of being, you know, enslaved by it. And the enemy wants to hold you there, okay? So attachment is when the enemy grabs a hold of what you have put out there. What you have put out there. So ask yourself right now, Lord, do I have any attachments? Have I given the devil bitterness, resentment, attitudes, you know, old wounds that have never been healed that involve distrusting God? I mean, you know, may the Spirit of God show us right now if we have anything we have put out there by our own will, our own choice, into the flesh, contrary to the Spirit of God. You can read about the acts of the flesh in Galatians 5. So if you've gotten into any of those things, and unrepentant, you know, there's no repentance, and you're doing it not like every single day, but you're doing it and you're doing it and you're doing it. Well, I'm saying you're giving the devil legal ground to, you know, grab a hold of that area in a sense and make that a major stronghold. One is awareness of how that works. Two, the Spirit of God told you not to do it in the first place. You did this, not God. Don't blame him. You have to repent, which takes away Satan's doorway, takes away the foothold. Repent of the issue. And I always say this too, renounce anything that Satan's been trying to hold you into. I've had people come in where I prayed, you know, where the enemy is really holding onto an area. This is not possession, by the way. Attachment is where the enemy grabs an area that you're giving him. And you command, get, you know, in the name of Jesus, you know, get off. And I really believe that, you know, spirits have backed away. But if a person doesn't repent and wants to stay there and go back out there and stay in that anger, bitter, resentment, lust, you know, whatever it is really strong, if you're into it deep enough, strong enough, you better be clear that the enemy has a right to grab a hold of that area and to kind of hold you into it or make it even worse. So awareness of this issue. Your fault, so you confess, you repent. 1 John 1:9, if you confess it, homologos, if you agree with God that it's wrong, you don't, you know, you should have never held the anger, you should have never held the bitterness, never held the revenge factors, and those kind of, all these kind of things. You say, Lord, I repent, I surrender people over to you, I forgive them, I surrender them to your justice. You deal with them. Obviously, you and I can't deal with them. you surrender it over, you repent of the things of the flesh. And then you also, this is what I do, you know, and tell people to do. In the name of Jesus, I renounce any doorway I've given, any access, any rights, any topon, any foothold I've given to the enemy. I renounce that. In the name of Jesus, all in any and all demonic stuff, get away from me. I will not give you this access, that kind of thing. Number four tonight is the area of possession. And I'm going to tell you what, when the second half of this course comes in, you'll have a notebook. And these things will be going over, like each one of these will take an hour to go over all the details and then lead you through breaking these things. We can do that a little bit tonight. Number four is possession. That is dianonzoi. That's Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 is total possession, body, soul, spirit, mind, where a demon can come up and speak through a person, look through their eyes, talk, name their name. That's possession. Unsaved people can be utterly possessed, body, soul, and spirit. Believers cannot be possessed in the same way. They can be attached, attacked, and oppression and stuff, but you cannot be possessed in the exact same way as a lost person. A lost person is going to need to be, you know, delivered and saved. And most possessed people, like Mark chapter 5, that's the key example. Jesus didn't ask him, hey, you want me to get Legion out of there? He commanded it all to get out, right? And then the man turned to Jesus. That's the norm. In all of our experience in 30 years of deliverances, possessed people, almost every single time we command demons to get out and they get clear and they realize and they're on the ground, they're crying, they get up and they want Jesus and they pray and they accept Christ and we pray for them, we clear things, we get them to renounce and repent and do kind of like a post-deliverance, you know, clearing of things to make sure they'll never get into it again. But if they get saved and the Spirit of God comes in and then we point them to growing, then that's where it's all at. So Mark 5 is the key picture in possession. Number 5, now we're going to open up for questions here too coming up here in a few moments. Number 5, acquisition. Acquisition. Anybody who is summoning demons for their own power to use those demons by their own will, like the king of Moab in Kings chapter 3. He sacrificed his son to summon demons to help his army defeat Israel. You have Bar-Jesus, the Jewish sorcerer. They would be used to summoning demons. And you have Simon in Acts chapter 8 that would be a summoner. And so let me say that anybody who is a reader of the dead, a summoner of demons, ritually, you know, sacrificing anybody, acquisition. There are people by the tens of thousands and thousands and thousands. Aleister Crowley is true. Many others, they want the powers in them and on them to give them abilities, to give them power over people, to give them, you know, all kinds of things. So you've got, I've got here listed, I mean, we've confiscated, you know, books of shadows, and we have all kinds of ritual books. Some of the stuff we have is not on the web, but on the web now, there's all, I mean, there's more stuff on the web now for some of those dangerous rituals I know of are out on the web. And it's all about how to, you know, even summon Satan, how to give your life to Satan, how to open up to demons, how to name them by names. And if you're summoning them to receive them, or summoning them to put them in others, or summoning them to, you know, to get favors, or to summon them and send them. I mean, you know, the truth is now, high-level practitioners and covens know how to summon demons and send them against churches, pastors, whatever else. And so they kind of ramp up a little bit of the warfare issue. So, acquisition. There are those that are summoning demons and they don't want to give it up. 22 years ago, two young twin sisters sent me after their brother to go witness to him. The backside of a bar, you know, we asked him to come outside and stand outside with us, and he did. We began to witness to him and share. Twice his eyes rolled back, and I thought he was going to manifest fully. Then he grabbed the amulet around his neck, and he told us that it's an amulet of power. And he would continue to, he was kind of, you know, arrogant against Christ and so forth. And we're praying inwardly, and I was like, Lord, go ahead and let a full manifestation happen, because we'll deal with that, and we're sharing the gospel. But he was standing strong and calling on the Spirit to help him, because he acquired it. And then he finally just stopped and walked back off into the bar. We've met many, many people over the years that have summoned demons and acquired them, and they want them. That's true in the Old Testament all over the place. That's true of all kinds of groups, whether the Palo Mayombe, whether Santeria, whether, you know, whether New Agers understand it or not, they're summoning and receiving through chart. They call it energies. Well, the energy is nothing more than the presence of the demon emanating. That's all it is. The energies on rocks, they call it, no, that's demonic presence emanating. You're feeling the manifestation, the energy of the demon. And so that's important to understand. We want to look at piggybacking next, real quick. And I think that's important to understand. What do we mean by, you know, spiritual warfare in the context of piggybacking? Well, have you ever had somebody that's, you know, even a Christian, completely in the flesh, backslidden, you know, angry, whatever else, and they say things to you that's more than just human? Can the enemy use, who's, you know, already attaching to or holding on to the anger issue and kind of speak through and attack you? Yeah, I believe that. I believe that when Peter, when Jesus was heading one direction and Peter was trying to stop him and make him go another direction, Jesus turned around and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You know, you don't have anything, you know, in mind the things of God." There was a, you know, he was, they were, the presence behind Peter was trying to divert Jesus. Jesus recognized that. You got to recognize when there's non-Christians in your family and at work and other places in your neighborhood, or maybe a highly backslidden, angry believer, this can happen with, but mainly with non-believers, where the advice they give you strongly, or the heavy-duty things they say against your faith, or cutting things they do, it may be coming from the enemy. When it's more than just human words, when it really hits you, when it really wants to sting you, when it really wants to create doubt, cause you harm, you know, elicit you to do something outside the will of God. So when any person, where it seems like their anger or whatever it is they have is charged, heightened by demonic presence wanting to go through them and speak to you. You ever have somebody, like you have two people you're talking to, and the one person keeps speaking into the ear of the other person, then that person talks to you. You ask another question, you do something, then the other person whispers in the ear of the person, and then they tell you. And you don't know what that person's saying. I believe the demonic side, in a real sense, whispers his thoughts and intents, or sends those arrows in and through other believers, backslidden, in the flesh, you know, who are giving room to the devil. And or unsaved individuals at work, in your family, and other places where, you know, now you think about right now some of the word wounds that are in you. Psalm 139, "Search me, O Lord." Just ask the Lord, "Lord, is there any kind of things that maybe moms or dads or cousins or family members or work people or bosses or spouses that are unsaved have said to me that it's not just them? The enemy has used them kind of as a sliding board, a conduit to bring his attack through them to hit me." If you could ask the Lord, put a piece of paper down and say, "Lord, is there anybody that I know that has done this?" And you, in the Spirit of God, cause you to remember, to recognize certain word curses and lies. And if all of a sudden you recognize that, what do? Well, the one thing is you recognize it. The second thing is you, in the name of Jesus, you break it. "Lord, any lie, anything that person said, now I realize it was the enemy coming through them. Lord, I rebuke this right now. I right now cancel the lie. I cancel the attack. I cancel what they've spoken over me. I do not accept it. I reject it in the name of Jesus." And then the Lord rebuke the enemy who's done this. And Lord, I pray for the person, that the unsaved person, to get saved. Or I pray for the believer who's so deeply in the flesh that they've attacked, they've allowed the enemy to bring an attack. I pray for them to be convicted of it. I pray for them to come out of it. I pray for them to be, you know, to repent and be restored. Very good point. I see this in the room right now too. Thank you, Sherry. It says, so what do we have to do to be careful when, you know, we have to in certain websites. And you're right, if you're a researcher, and you know, you're a researcher of books, and we've learned this because we've got every kind of thing, confiscated stuff that's not even in published places, you know, the enemy, doctrines of demons, and also websites now. I'll just give you a heads up, you know, Satanists have told us for years, they conjure spirits to, they want the spiritual presence to be on their websites. They want a tax to hit Christians if Christians go to their websites. So, number one, be aware that spiritual warfare can come off of books and warfare and objects and so forth and websites or whatever. So, all I would say is simply this. In redoing the research, you know, be preemptive in your prayers. Lord, shield me, protect me, make me aware of anything. If you're going to open up any kind of research, you know, you're researching a certain satanic group or group, or even the satanic calendar. You know, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke anything demonic coming off this, Lord. I mean, just go ahead and do that kind of prayer. Better to cover all the bases than to be hit and hurt and then have to cover them later. Right? And this is important. This is important because, and thank you, Sherry, for bringing that up, because a lot of us that, you know, in the occult crimes area and in spiritual warfare, you know, we are researching and looking. And there are objects that we've confiscated or we're handing over to us. We couldn't keep them. They were demonized objects. I don't care if we pray on them or not. I'm not going to make them clean objects in some sense. We destroyed them, burned them, utterly destroyed them. What Josiah did. But when it comes to, and I wanted to bring that up when it comes to objects, which I don't know if I have time tonight. We may not. We're right now on the piggybacking issue. As a matter of fact, we have 7 minutes tonight. So I'm going to stop at point number six. And then next week, we're going to deal with corporate spiritual warfare, ritual spiritual warfare, astral projection warfare, places and objects. And again, we're going to do this in a general sense. When the workbook comes out, we'll be in a very, very detailed sense and to give you. If you question, if you still have a topon, that is a foothold in your life, not handled, can that be a problem when you're engaging someone that's possessed? Well, good point. I believe, and I've seen this happen, where demons will come up and point it out. Demons can look at a believer. I believe they know a believer because the Spirit of God's in them. This is what I believe. I believe they, you know, when the demons said in the book of Acts, Jesus we know and Paul we know, but who are you? He knew those who were not believers, that did not have the Spirit of God inside and did not have the authority, did not have Jesus, and he knew those who did. So I do believe this over the years where demons have brought up things. And I've watched believers quickly in the midst of deliverance with manifesting demons repent. I had a psychologist in the office, and after this major deliverance, demon manifested in the girl she brought, and all that went on, she came back the next week, pulled me aside and said, Russ, after last week, I see how real this is. I just want you to know that I went and got my life right with Jesus in every way, which is great. It should be done anyway. So I'm going to say yes, that if a believer, even though you have authority in Christ, if you're grieving the Spirit of God, if you're into some area of sin to where you're not, you know, you're holding on, you knowingly have a consistent sin going on hidden in your life and you're not giving it up, then you're giving the devil a topon. And and it could be brought up in the middle of deliverance. Bottom line too is you're grieving the Spirit of God, so you're weakened. You are weakened. And you're not going to be spiritually vigilant and acute. You're not going to be, you know, that sense of the fullness of the Spirit of God that is both felt and sensed. And you got to understand the Spirit of God helps you in warfare. And I'll go this down the road. I'll tell you about these things. But we've prayer mapped and prayed in advance to know the name of a demon. There's times the Holy Spirit just told me the name and I just called it out and then rebuked it and said, get out. You got to understand the Holy Spirit knows everything. He knows every demon. He knows their name. He knows what they play with. He knows when they're lying. And your reliance on God, the Holy Spirit, and spiritual warfare is vital. The Spirit of truth inside of you, greater, megas, massive, is he who is inside of you than the demon or the devil in the world. And so you rely on that. But again, the experience of the presence of the Holy Spirit comes as you're doing stuff. Now, we're going to continue here with just a couple of moments. I know we have a couple of moments left. I can't even believe it. But I want you to know about, don't forget the conference is coming up, Spiritual Warfare with the Ladies, my wife and two other teachers in 2 weeks, Akron, Ohio. It's on our website, shatterthedarkness.net. And if you go to shatterthedarkness.net, look to the right side, conferences. I'm going to be speaking in Montana, at the end of May, in the early part of June, Cincinnati, middle part of June, Newark, Ohio, the Nephilim Mounds. And then in July, we will be in Pikes Peak, Colorado again. So we want you to know about all of that. And we hope that as it was down in Florida, so many unbelievable great connections down there. Thank you. The we have not set the schedule for the network meeting yet. And I'm waiting to hear back from one of the officers, one of the counselors. That's going to be more towards the end of April, more like the 24th, maybe, I don't know, somewhere around there. It might even be the first week of May, so, but I'll definitely tell you and put it up and post it, the network meeting, and which people have, there's no cost to it unless you want to buy your own food. There's no cost. It's just a network meeting, and yeah, we're supposed to come to Texas in late June. I don't have the details of the church. Just be looking for that. That's all I can tell you. I want to say we ask God's blessing and strength to you and his light to shine upon you. You pray for us, and you ask the Lord to minister, if you would. Yeah, Texas, but at the end of June for Texas. But they have not given us everything yet. So we don't know about the rest of the stuff in Texas. Don't mess with Texas. So all I'm saying is we don't have everything for Texas yet. So the moment they give me the details, we'll put it up. But we're told that it is being planned. We love you tonight. We appreciate you deeply tonight. They're telling me I have just about a minute or so left, which is fine. And I just want you to know that we are very grateful to be here with you. Jesus is the center of it all. He is our Savior, healer, deliverer, protector, guard. And you love him. And when you don't know what to do, just ask him. Just call on him. Just say, Jesus, help me. And from whence comes your help? Your help comes from the Lord. And we know this. Blessings to you. Keep us in your prayers. We'll be back live tomorrow the rest of the week. Ragged Edge, 6 p.m. Good night.